We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
I do think it's about transparency. I think people should understand what data and information is being collected, but also I think it's working with retailers about what I would call trusted data optimization, where you're helping them optimize the data they're collecting, but also building trust at the same time with the customer.
I'm Bill Thorne from the National Retail Federation, and this is Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. We are incredibly fortunate to continue our conversation today with Sean Joyce, U.S. Cybersecurity and Privacy Leader at PwC U.S. Sean works with clients across all industries, and he's providing strategic guidance and advising on incident breach response and cybersecurity. Sean, we really appreciate you taking the time to continue our conversation about what is going on in this space.
Thanks, Bill and Sarah.
Sean, you know, in our first conversation, we talked a lot about what the risks were and how people are responding to those. But then, you know, the industry, retail, but all industries, but retail in particular, is changing, revolutionizing. There's so much going on. It's so dynamic. And a lot of it is in the experiential space, providing consumers with what they want with experiences. This, I would think, opens up a whole new avenue as it relates to cybersecurity risk. What's going on, what they're doing, what they're collecting. Tell us about your experience in working with some of these retailers to address that.
So you're right, Bill, and I think the retail industry is really fascinating. And some of the changes that we're seeing are unique. And let me give a couple of examples of that. When you walk into our store now, right, some of the retailers are actually trying to track your activities, see what aisles you go down, what actual merchandise you are looking at. And it's not so much whether Bill, Sarah, or Sean is doing that, but one of their customers. And then they're trying to, you know, take that information and really put it through an analytical process to learn more about their customer base. So, you know, if you've read some articles recently, they really consider 2019 to be the year of the retailer discovering their customer. And really leveraging all of that data that they collect and being able to understand and focus on that customer experience. And I think you touched upon a very good point where I would say a decade ago, it was all about how many goods or, you know, how much merchandise you're selling. Now it's about what is that experience that the customer is getting. And that can be brick and mortar, walking into a store, or that can actually be online. And how is that making you feel and think? So to me, it's an incredible revolution. And I think the retailers that really get that are going to be the ones that really succeed.
So in the example you gave of the grocery store, how are they using that data to make my weekly grocery store run better?
I think what they're trying to accomplish is figure out what is the average person's pattern. And I'm saying that with a Boston accent, P-A-T-T-E-R-N. but really seeing, right, what's the traffic flow in that store and where they can position certain merchandise that what most customers want. So if you pick, you know, most customers want, say, 10 items, do they put those in the most trafficked areas? Or do they put those further, but you have to travel through some other areas that they might want you to look at other merchandise or goods that possibly might match some of your, you know, preferences or needs or whatever that might be?
Doesn't this raise, though, I mean, you always hear about it, and there's those people out there that really, it's kind of a cottage industry of putting privacy concerns front and center of all of this new technology. How do the retailers or how do businesses protect themselves against this charge that you are invading the privacy of somebody that just walks into your store, walks into your business, and you're collecting information and they don't know anything about it. What are you doing with it? How are you protecting it? And why are you doing it?
So, great question. And I do think it's about transparency. I think people should understand what data and information is being collected. But also, I think it's working with retailers about what I would call a phrase called trusted data optimization, where you're helping them optimize the data they're collecting, but also building trust at the same time with the customer. So I think, you know, when we look at companies out there, the ones that understand that trust is a part of that equation and how we can bring the customer along in that journey are the ones that I think are going to be most successful in the future.
Do you think the concept of trust from the consumer perspective has changed with, you know, I know I'm being tracked when I go into different stores, there's cameras. Sure. Do you think people are more or less trusting than they used to be, or do we just think about trust differently?
I think we've seen people become less trusting. And one of the things, I think we'll see that pendulum swing where there is a need to be transparent with the customer. And I do think that's the best route that we need to go, you know, as an industry and understanding that. So in my mind, that's what that trusted data optimization we're talking about is. Like, there are certain types of data that you may be fine that they're collecting that are, I would say, characteristics or generalizations about your behavior that are not particular to you as an individual person. But, you know, as Bill mentioned about the privacy aspect, I think more and more we're seeing privacy kind of become part of this discussion. And when you have GDPR, mm-hmm. right, from the EU, and now you have the California Consumer Protection Act, mm-hmm. and right. There are several other states that are initiating some privacy laws. To me, it's not about privacy versus security. It's about privacy and security.
Do you think people understand, you know, if I'm shopping online and I'm shoe shopping, I like that retailers remember what shoe size I am so that they're not selling me this cute pair of boots that I can't fit into. And I sometimes wonder if consumers even understand. It's very easy to say, I don't want my information. I don't want anyone to have my information. But then you lose your frequent flyer program. Then you lose your, you know, having a retailer know what shoe size you have and what books you've already read. So don't market those to me. Do you think people understand?
I think it's a risk reward, don't you? I mean, you know, I'm willing to take that risk by providing that information, which can be compromised some way or used some way. But the reward is, you know, I get the pair of shoes that I want at the price that I want and the time that I want. So I just think there's this adoption of this kind of, well, it's worth the risk.
I think that's right. But it's back to the transparency of if they don't realize what they're giving up by having a blanket statement of, I want my privacy.
Right.
So I go to risk, recognition, and reward. So being able to recognize what they're doing with that information. I am fine with them saying, hey, like you were saying, hey, my shoe size is over here and we have a new whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. But I am not fine with, and also we're going to sell that information other things. So this is where we get into that transparency conversation. Yep. So I think most customers, and again, we go back to the experience. They like that experience. Yeah. Hey, I know you're a size 7.5, and here are some new shoes for the fall collection or summer, whatever it might be. But I think once you start losing control of the data, and that's where I see the movement going, where the customer will be able to control the data.
Yeah. But you kind of see that right now a little bit. I mean, when you sign up for things, they'll say, we never sell our information to outside vendors. We may use it with partners, but, you know, you've got to understand what that means. Today, I mean, you go into a store, and if they have CCTV, there's usually a sign right at the front. Now, I think that serves two purposes. One, you're telling the customer, you're being watched. Number two is you're telling the would-be shoplifter you're being watched.
Yeah.
But,
it's a deterrent.
But how do you do that in the sense that if you go into a store and they capture your IP address? Is it a sign? We're capturing your IP address? I mean, how do you tell the customer you are giving up information, but you may not know about it, and technology is allowing us to do that?
I think it's important on some things. And when we were just talking about privacy and we were talking about the California Consumer Protection Act versus GDPR, which is the General Data Protection Regulation, CCPA is a lot more confining from the standpoint of they are considering general characteristics about you and your behavior as a privacy issue. So, you know, California is very aggressive and I would say forward-leaning on some of these privacy issues. I think it gets back to there are certain things, like if I walked through with my cell phone, I would not want them to take my ID, which is an identifying number on that device, without my knowledge, right? There are other things that I really maybe don't care, right? That they know Sean Joyce is in the store and in looking for merchandise or whatever that might be. So it gets back to me, it gets back to transparency. And this is where you get into, I keep saying that phrase, trusted data optimization, right? They're able to optimize their data to make that experience as unique and as beneficial as they possibly can for the consumer, but in the same sense, respecting the trust that they have in that relationship between the retailer and the customer.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. There's a store that I don't frequent it very often, but it's an amazing phenomenon. I work in this industry, yet I hate to shop. But when I shop, I say, I need a blue shirt. So I go to the store, I go to the shirts, I find a blue one in my size, I buy it, and then I leave. I don't walk around and think about, oh, wow, I need a red shirt too. Yeah, maybe I need a blazer, maybe I need a tie. I just need a shirt. So, but it's really intriguing to me because the last time I went in, don't know any of the clerks, I walked in and they were like, hi, can we help you? I said, yeah, I'm just here to get a shirt. We know you're in a hurry, so let's help. I was like, how do you know I'm in a hurry? I mean, I wasn't like, I just walked in the door. And it was almost as though they knew I was in the store, that I am a, you know, customer that likes to come in, get, leave. Don't try to upsell me. Don't try to walk me around. Just get me the product. Get me out. Is that possible these days? I mean, with
it is, and I think retailers are doing a good job. What we would refer to as omni-channel, where they're looking at your behavior online, they're looking at your behavior from a mobile basis application, and then they're looking at your behavior at the brick and mortar when you walk into a store.
Right,
and they're able to combine all that and say, "Hey, we know Bill was searching online for blue shirts." He was also looking at some pants. And we know Bill's average time in the store is about 5 minutes. He's not a browser. And combining these different behaviors and saying, how can we best service Bill?
And you know what? I appreciate that. I'm willing to give up all of my, you know, privacy. If I can just walk in the store, they don't bother me. They just let me get my thing and let me leave. And I know that sounds really, really strange, but it was when I was walking back to the office from this experience recently, I thought that somehow they knew me and my habit, but that's fine because in the past, in the old days, you'd walk in and they'd say, oh, you know, if you're going to get that shirt, these are 75% off, this is 50% off, you might want to get a tie with that, that matches this. I'd be like, no, I just want to leave, but I'm too nice to say that sometimes.
And on the other side of it, you know, the people, right, when you talk about the store in the store concept, mm-hmm. where there are other stores, how about if they knew you also like to drink coffee? And there's a store in a store where there's a little cafe there, and they give you a card with, you know, free cup of coffee. Why don't you go over there and we'll pick out some things for you that we know you like. And as you're enjoying that, come on over and try these things on. And again, it goes back to that experience.
Yeah. You know, we had talked a little bit offline about healthcare and health information. To me, that's one area that I feel pretty strong about as it relates to maintaining that privacy. I don't want, and you've got HIPAA and all these other things, but
right.
it's becoming more, you know, you've got the watch and it's tracking your blood pressure and it's tracking your sleep patterns and it's tracking your heart rate. It's tracking all of these things. Where's that information going and how is it being used? And so what's being done to protect that and to protect the consumer that is that are using these devices?
So I think it's different. So in the healthcare industry, and there are different parts of the healthcare industry, when you look at protected health information, I think that is handled very differently. I see a little bit of a merge in the retail industry where you see stores like Best Buy that just did the Great Call acquisition, which are medical, right, mobile medical devices. I think go into other, what we would call traditional healthcare industries, but leverage their technology backbone.
Right.
Right. And use that once again to make that customer experience almost like a one stop. I can go in here and take care of everything. I think we see that with the whole smart homes industry, where you can get your, you know, thermostat, you can get your doorbell that has, right, that the cameras on it that you can control with your mobile app and really change the thing. So I think you're seeing the retailers really open up their aperture of what's possible and looking at some of these non-traditional partnerships that I think will make them very successful.
Again, I'm going back to the device, like your, you know, this monitoring health and location and things of that sort that you wear on your wrist. So in the military, this is a real concern because that information can be tracked or traced by people. You don't know that it is. They're being able to get that information. How are we stopping that? I mean, so I'm walking down the street. Is there somebody that's capturing what's on my wrist?
Is
that possible?
It is possible.
Okay.
Right. So
notice
anything,
I have nothing on my wrist.
Anything? No. Anything that has connectivity, right, is possible to be intercepted. So if it's given off a wireless signal, or if it's just transmitting to a tower, right, that information can be
captured.
Absolutely, by someone that maybe you don't want to capture that information. And, you know, we're going to see that become even a more challenging thing with the advent of 5G.
Oh,
and
sure.
I think you're going to see in the retail industry looking for ways that they're going to be able to explore that in very unique, non-traditional ways that, once again, is going to go back to the customer experience.
Well, it just goes back to the fact that this industry is so incredibly dynamic. But it's what they don't do anything that the customer doesn't want them to do. If it makes the experience a better experience, a more seamless experience, that's what the retailer wants to provide them. And yet, at the same time, there's the challenge because it is so dynamic, because technology is evolving at a pace that nobody could have ever anticipated. How do we address it? How do we protect it? How do we protect the consumer? How do we protect the business? How do we protect our associates? How do we protect our communities?
It's a long list.
It is a long list, but it's something that I think that always has to be top of mind. Sean, we are out of time. I cannot believe it, but I have really, really enjoyed our opportunity to spend time with you. And again, let me ask you this question. If they want to learn more about cybersecurity at PwC, where would somebody go?
www.pwc.com.
PwC.com. Sean Joyce, thank you so much for your time. And Sarah, thank you for hosting, co-hosting once again, another episode of Retail Gets Real.
Thank you.
To learn more about Retail Gets Real, go to retailgetsreal.com, download other episodes. And if you like Retail Gets Real, make sure to tell your friends, your family, your colleagues about it. Thanks again. We'll be back shortly.